Thought I was done with this series. I want to do one more message on this He Is I Am. I thought, okay, it's done. But I felt the Lord place in my heart, it's not wrapped up yet. He is I Am. In that context that we've talked about, a key verse for us was Hebrews 11:6. That without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, faith is the context of how God operates, because we find out that in Hebrews 11 that it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises of God, which means everything that you want, God has for you, and you receive it by faith and patience. Matthew 6, Jesus is very specific that just like the world wants stuff, I know the Father knows you need stuff and want stuff, but don't follow the world's system. Follow God's system. Look to your neighbor and say, follow God's system. Come on, say, follow God's system. That's what he was saying. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's how the king operates. Follow God's system, and all this stuff will be added to. Jesus didn't say, I know you have need of stuff, and you know what? I'm pretty disappointed that you would ask for anything. No. He said, follow God's system, and all that stuff will be added. Don't do it the world system, because the world system carries with it other stuff from the world that will make your life harder.
Right.
You might become wealthy in the world system, but wealth in the world system brings heartache. God says, I will bless you and I will make you rich and I'll add no sorrows to it. See, when you do it God's way, which doesn't mean that you don't work, don't be foolish, but you bring God's system into your work. It doesn't mean you don't try. No, you bring God's system into your efforts. It doesn't mean that you just try to do it on your own. No, you bring God's system into your network. When you bring God's system into your expertise, God will bring you to a place of success or victory or healing, whatever it might be. But he does it without the stress. He does it without the stress. You know, some people finally get to the place of success, but they're so exhausted and stressed out, they can't enjoy the victory. They can't enjoy the journey. It is just a wear and tear. And God forbid that ever happened to you, you get so exhausted and that you end up dying early because you're fatigued yourself because you're overstressed about what you're trying to get. So by the time you finally get it, somebody else is going to enjoy it because you can't enjoy it because you didn't live long enough to. No. That's not God's system. He will bless you without the stress. Success without the stress. God's system will bring healing in your life. It'll bring victory in your life. It'll bring whatever it might be, your marriage, your health, your business, your career, your family. He'll bring you to that level beyond your best, but he'll do it without stressing you out.
Amen.
I think that's a pretty good deal.
Yes.
It's not overnight, but it is over time. Faith and patience, but God's way is always the best way. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an amen out of this 8:30 early morning, non-coffee drinking people? Come on, somebody. God's way is always the best way. So Jesus said, do it God's way, and all that stuff will be added to you without the stress, without the world's connections, without the world manipulating you, without the world telling you, I brought you here, you better do what I want or I'll take you back down.
Come on.
Some people have reached great positions of authority or success, but they're owned by other people and they're literally somebody else's puppet.
Right.
They're visible to many, but they're controlled by a few. And they can't even enjoy their own life because they have to follow the pattern of somebody else tells them, you have to do this, you're controlled to do this. This is what I want you to do. See, that's not God's system. Say, God's system is the best way. So Jesus said, follow God's system, and that's by faith. We receive it by faith, which doesn't mean that God's going to create it. God has already created it for you.
Right.
Hebrews again, verse 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. That he is, must believe that he is.
Yeah.
And that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God's way says, make me number one in your life. Get to know me. And I'm the vine, you're the branches. Watch what happens.
Right.
I'm the head, you're the body. Watch what happens. Get into the flow of who I am and my authority and watch what happens. Because the truth, the fact of the matter is not that God's trying to create a healing or blessing for you. It already, as a child of God, are you listening to me? It's like we've used the illustration. It's like putting a rubber band on your hand and blood's not flowing to your hand and it's getting numb and tingly and you're praying and crying out to God, God, send more blood. No, you don't need no more blood. The blood is designed to flow correctly. The system is created for that blood to flow to your hand. There's something restricting the system of God that's keeping blood to that hand. And so when you're struggling financially, struggling in your health, struggling in a relationship, it's not God help me and add something to me. It already belongs to you. The system of God has made it where it flows automatically. But the enemy, John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he set up stuff in your life that's restricting what God's system is wanting to do automatically. So you don't have to pray, God, give me more money. All the provision of God, Jehovah Jireh, has been made well able and provide more than enough, because he is more than enough in your life. That's why Jesus said, I give you the authority. What you bind or what you remove or do not tolerate. Because the enemy will set up stuff or try to set up stuff in your life, in your thinking, in your relationships. It could be a mindset. It could be the wrong friends. It could be a wrong habit. He'll try to set up stuff that would choke out what God has for you. And here we are, we're praying, God, give me more. God, heal me better. God's saying, it's already yours. It's the bread for the children. Did you hear me? It's the bread for the children. The bread has already been baked. It's already been prepared. It's at the table. You're the child. You don't have to beg for it. You just come and partake of it. You come and eat from the table. It's already yours. But many times the enemy is trying to keep us out. He's trying to hold it back. And so God's not a rewarder of those who diligently seek the reward. It's those who diligently seek him. Because you might think, well, how do I know? What is the restrictor in my life? How do I know where that thief is? How do I know? God, you could panic if you try to overanalyze. God, is it something I said? Is it something the way I do? Is it that friend? Is it this friend? You'll drive all your friends away, even the good ones, trying to figure out which one's the bad one. You will overwhelm yourself. Overanalyze and get paralysis by analysis trying to figure out what it is. No. You don't need to overanalyze what's restricting. You need to focus on him. Amen. And as he reveals who he is, you'll come to the reality of who you are and that you'll see for yourself, wait a minute, this stuff, this person, that mindset is way below me. This is not that you're a narcissist, not that you're better than everybody, but you come to the reality that that's not my true identity. Right. That person's asking me to go with them, and I just always win. But now I'm realizing that that is not really who I am, and that is stealing from me. Come on. It's exposing me to ideas that I don't need to. It's getting me to think in a fearful way that that's not of God. Right. Amen. See, it's not a matter of trying to find the darkness. You just need to get in the light. The darkness is going to flee. Amen. Draw near to God. Submit yourself to him, resist the devil, and draw near. When you submit to the word of God and get under his principles, all of a sudden that light shines. The entrance of his word, the Bible says, the entrance of God's word brings light. Did you hear me? Brings light. As the word goes forth, signs and wonders follows the word, which means God's word is never dormant. God's word is always active. It's moving on assignment. It is always moving on assignment. The many times it doesn't work in our life, the Bible says it's because when we listen to it, we did not mix our faith with it. But when you mix your faith with it, I believe. Say, I believe. See, God, before he'll tell you who you are, he'll begin to show you who he is. You can see that through Abraham. When God would show up, he said, Abraham, I am thy shield and I'm thy exceeding great reward. While he's trying to get Abraham to the place of blessing, he's revealing himself as the blesser.
Right.
See, we if we're not careful, we'll pursue all the things God has for us, but we want to go around God instead of going to him. But it don't work that way. God, just bless me. I don't really want to know you, but I just want the blessing. I don't really want to know you, but I'll go to church enough just to get the promotion. I don't really want to know you, but I'll do just enough so I can have a good marriage. I just want my stuff, and I'll do just enough to get to know you enough to qualify me to get it, and you struggle getting it because all we're doing is pursuing the reward and not the rewarder. You begin to pursue the rewarder, and things open up. You begin to pursue the rewarder, and all of a sudden, your perspective of who he is. Do you know why a lot of people don't go to God is because they don't know who he is.
Right.
It's the good God, the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. I'm telling you, religion has so tainted the perspective of God, the Father. And that's why Jesus, when he came, he talked about the Father. I mean, even I was at a graduation just yesterday, and the commencement speaker happened to talk and tell what seemed to be, in his perspective, a moving story about how God put cancer on somebody. He even said a thing. God gave him cancer. I wanted to stand up. My wife's telling me, it'll be okay. Don't worry about it. No. God gave him cancer to mold him into who he wanted him to be. That's not in the Bible. That's a lie of the devil. Right. Don't lie about my Father. Right. You can lie about your kids. You can lie about your parents. You can lie about your... Don't be lying about my family. That's my family. He's my Heavenly Father. Don't be messing with my Heavenly Father. I wanted to get up and take that microphone and say, I don't know who you are, but you're lying to these people. Well, see, that kind of mindset, who wants to go to God and get close to God? Because he just might put something on you. Did you hear me? Wednesday night, we did a Q&A. One of the questions was, I've always heard that you should never pray for patience because God will give you problems. I wanted to do that. He said, that's what I heard, too. That's a lie of the devil. Lie of the devil. God doesn't put problems on you. Jesus said, cast your care upon me, for I care for you. Jesus said, take my yoke and my burden, for they are light and they are easy. I don't see. Can you? Jesus said, my yoke and my burden are light. Take that into your life. Yeah. Religion says God will just keep adding the way because he'll never add more than you can bear. It's a lie of the devil. They take the scripture we saw out of 2 Corinthians, and some of you are like, well, that's the way I always believed. I know, because we got to get the word to shine the light on this stuff in our life, because the enemy has so planted wrong seeds in our thinking that we think we know what is right, but you have to challenge everything. Challenge everything. Challenge what I'm saying right now. Challenge everything with the word of God. They'll take that scripture that says that when you're dealing with temptation, the Jesus will make sure that you'll not be tempted more than you can bear. But it didn't say he's the one who tempted you. Because James says that when you are tempted, never say that God has tempted you, because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Come on, somebody. We got to stand up for our family sometimes and say, that's my Heavenly Father. He's so good that no one else can be in the same category. Even when they talk to Jesus, say, good teacher, how do I inherit life? He said, stop right there. Let me set the record straight. There is none good but one. He's in a class all by himself. There's none good but God. Okay. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must believe. Say, I must believe. See, you can hear, but if you don't believe it, it's not going to do anything. I must believe. Say, I must believe.
I must believe.
Say, I must believe.
I must believe.
And in fact, we find out in Romans chapter 16 that it says that we believe that we might obey.
Yes.
God doesn't want you to believe so that you have a buzz.
Come on.
It's not about I believe and I feel so good about believing.
Come on.
It's believe so that you might obey.
Yes.
Say, I believe that I might obey. See, when God reveals who he is, he'll always connect it to your next step of instruction.
Right.
Not to hurt you, but to improve you.
Amen.
I mean, if I'm driving down the road and I'm lost, I want somebody who knows where I'm going to tell me, take a right at the next light.
Right.
So that I can get to my destination, so I can go faster and farther. Come on, somebody. Get where God's called me to go quicker and not take so long. I mean, you can go around that promise land 40 years if you want, but I want to do the four-day route. That's all I'm saying. Some of us are having to let people die off because we're not letting them go fast enough. We got to go 40 years, but that's okay. You just keep moving until you get there, but let's go the fastest route that we can get there. And God knows where you're at. God knows where he's taking you. And when he gives you instruction, it's to get you there quicker, not slower, make your life better, not worse, to bring you ahead, not behind, to take you up, not push you down. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So he wants us to believe and he wants us to obey. And when you believe and you obey, you become something.
Amen.
You become.
Yeah.
You become. What do I become? You, God is developing you into the character, the nature of Jesus on the inside, and that affects your outside.
Yes.
See, we want the outside change, and God wants to develop you on the inside so that you can change your outside. Let me say that again. We want God just to change the outside, but he wants to develop you on the inside so that, listen, he wants to develop you on the inside so you change your outside. What do? God, here's my outside mess. Fix it all. God said, why don't you fix it? Lord, can't you deal with the devil? He said, nope. Why not? I told you to. James says, resist the devil. Another passage says, stand resisting the enemy. What? We wait for God to do what he's assigned us to do. See, I'm telling you, there's wisdom when you learn the roles of what God's supposed to do and what you're supposed to do. When you try to do God's stuff, it'll mess you up. There's stuff that only God can do, and there's stuff only you can do. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And God will say, listen, I want to change you from the inside out so that you become, so that you can change your outside.
Right.
You're waiting for me to do it. I'm waiting for you to do it.
Say that.
God, I want you to be like me. I want you to be like me in the earth. Now, some of us say, that sounds crazy. Let's look at the next verse. So 1 John. And we have known, which means experienced, and believed that the love of God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Notice what's happening. When I begin to believe on who he is, it brings me a connection to him. When I begin to experience the revelation of him and his love, then I begin to believe. See, that's a revelation, impartation, just not an idea in your head, but a revelation in your heart. Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood, or people didn't tell you this, but my Father has revealed this to you, who I am. When the Father, by the Spirit of God, because Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but will remind ye the words that I've spoken. When the Holy Spirit makes that word of God that you're listening to and reading and meditating and memorizing, when he makes that alive, it goes from information in your head to revelation in your heart. Now you're beginning to have a rhema. You're beginning to experience and believe. When you believe, it's connecting you to the Father, who he is. And when you're connected to the Father, like a branch to the vine, everything in the vine belongs to the branch, and all the life in the vine is going to the branch. The branch begins to produce what is the life of the vine. The branch doesn't decide, today I'm going to produce oranges. I know I've been doing apples all the time, but I'm up for change. No. The branch doesn't decide the fruit. It's decided by the vine, the DNA that comes from the seed. Are you with me? So the branch is actually a connection of the branch or the tree or the vine. And so what the branch does is allow the life that's in the tree to flow through it to produce the fruit, the change, so that others may see it. Did you hear me? Some of it's review, but it's still good to go over. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, the Bible tells us. Because the fruit that we're talking about, the change that God wants to bring in your life, should not just be an emotional change that you feel like, oh, it's all going to be good now. Should just not be the pressure's off, I can deal with this. It should be a change. It should not be a change that only Christians can see. It should be a change that the world sees. See, if you're only blessed when you come to church and people say, ooh, I believe God's blessed you. Hallelujah, you're blessed. Praise God for that. That's a phase, but it's not there yet. Matthew tells us, Matthew 13, that the seed is to produce and that fruit should come to maturity. The maturity of the fruit is where people who don't know God, people who don't believe in God, people that even hate God, cannot denounce or deny the fruit that they see. You can have an apple tree in your yard, and people say, "Ooh, what kind of tree is that?" "Oh, it's an apple tree." I can't tell that. I don't know. I've never seen an apple tree like that. I don't think it's an apple tree. I think it's an oak tree. No, that's an apple tree. They can argue all day, but once the fruit shows up, they can't argue anymore. Once the fruit shows up, come on, talk to me, 8:30. Once the fruit shows up, the arguments cease. Once the blessing shows up, the argument ceases. Once the healing shows up, the doctor has to say, I don't know what happened, but you've got a clean bill of health. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Okay, so We're out of time, but I got to finish this verse. He that dwelleth in him, dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, an interesting word about that judgment. The Lord drew my attention to it. I began to study it deeper. That word judgment literally has a couple different meanings. Many times it's referring to the judgment before the throne of God. Okay? But it's also used equally as opinions or trials. When it talked about that, when it uses the word that the enemy it has railing accusations about the saints before God,
yeah.
That's the word it's used.
Right.
Same word. When it talks about the trials, that's the word it's using. So you can actually also identify it or interpret that herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of your challenge. In the day when the enemy's saying you're not going to make it. In the day when the enemy says you're going to die and not live. In the day when the enemy challenges the authenticity of the word from the Father that's been revealed in your heart. And he tells you you'll not make it. You can't do it. All of a sudden, you're not passive. You're not weak. You're not buckling your knees. You are standing strong in boldness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Why? Because as he... As he,
is.
Not as he was or going, as he,
is.
How is Jesus right now? As he is, so are you in, not in heaven, but in this world. As he is, I am. Say with me, as he is, I am. Say as he is, I am. Say as he is, I am. Are you ready? Are you listening? Anything that's not in Christ right now should not be in your life. You have a right to be bold against it. Can cancer be in Jesus right now? Then cancer has no right. It's a foreign invader, an intruder, knocking on your door. Don't open the door and say, I got cancer. Can you pray for me? No, you don't have cancer. Cancer's trying to creep into your world. But you have authority to be bold against it. For the righteous, right standing, are bold as a lion. Come on, somebody. If it's not in Christ, it doesn't have to be in you. Say, if it's not in Christ,
it's not in Christ.
If it's not in Jesus,
it's not in Jesus,
it doesn't have to be in me.
And
everything that's in Jesus
belongs to me.
Come on now. That's right. I can tell you boldly according to the word of God that you're the head and not the tail. I can tell you that you are more than a conqueror. That's why Jesus said, in this world you'll have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome. What is he saying? Because of my victory, you can be victorious. 1 John chapter 5. And this is the victory that overcomes your world, even your faith. My faith, as I believe and obey, I become.
Amen.
Because I'm connected to who he is.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're out of time. Hallelujah. Woo! I love this. I'm healed.
I'm
blessed.